last chapter in the book of Hebrews. I had them to do a count today. We have preached 57 messages thus far out of the book of Hebrews. I could not believe it. And we probably got 50 more to go. I'm only kidding. All right. I'm not even sure. I need to check that out too. Over a year anyway. Over a year. Yeah, because I preached part of these on a Sunday night. And I think 17 messages were on Sunday nights out of Hebrews 11. And I knew we'd never get done on Wednesday night. Hebrews chapter 13 tonight, and this is going to be one of those ongoing messages as we will be adding to it as we go along in this outline through chapter number 13. Let's begin reading tonight, if we could, in verse number 1. We're going to look at three verses tonight. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible said, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." And so here he begins talking about love in the family of God. And he opens the chapter with some family admonitions. And we're going to look at these tonight as we study the Bible together. Let's pray and ask God to bless us as we study. Father, I pray you'll illumine our hearts and minds tonight. Show us your truth. Lord, help us not to just be learners or hearers of the Word, but to be doers. Lord, to be obedient to that you teach us and that you challenge us with in the Scriptures. Help us, Father, to be Christians that show forth the love of Christ. And Lord, that it would be a tangible, real, genuine love that can be seen by others by how we show it in our everyday lives. And we'll sure thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God, aren't you? Glad my name's written in heaven. Glad that I'm part of God's family. And I'm glad that God has placed me in particular in the Calvary Baptist Church family, that aspect of God's family that meets together on earth. I love my church. I do. I love this place. But I can promise you, it's not just a building. It's not just property. I love the people, those of you that make up the Calvary Baptist Church family. I love you with all of my heart. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about loving each other. And the closing thoughts, this closing thoughts of the writer of Hebrews, as he talks about life in the family of God. Now, when you first read the chapter, it seems like it's a little out of place. Sort of like it's somehow disconnected or disjointed from the rest of the book. But you're going to find actually the opposite is true. When you closely examine the contents of this chapter, you're going to find that these verses follow hard on the heels of the admonitions of Hebrews chapter 12, where the Holy Spirit, through the inspired penman, reminds us that we're citizens of heaven. Look back up verse 22 of chapter 12. He said, "But you're come to Mount Zion." And he begins to talk about the city of the living God and talks about our heavenly home, our future residence in heaven. And when you begin to look at that, it's a reminder that we're citizens of another country. We're pilgrims and strangers on the earth. This world is not our home. Hey, listen, we're just traveling through, amen? And there's times we feel like traveling on, ready for the Lord to come, and we could be with Him. Excuse me. And so we find that we're citizens of another world. We're citizens of a heavenly country, but yet we currently live in this present world. We're between here and there, aren't we? And when you think about that, we recognize that we're representatives of a heavenly country. You know, wherever I go in the world, I represent America. What people think and know and perceive about America, they learn from their interactions with those who are citizens of our country. And folks, can I tell you that's true this world as it relates to a place called heaven? Do you realize that we are representatives of a heavenly country? We're ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We serve the King of heaven. And what this world sees and knows, not just on a Sunday morning friend day, or on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, but as we interact out in the world, whether it's our place of business, the marketplace, down at the ballparks, whether it be in schoolhouses, wherever it is that we are, are. What this world sees and knows of Jesus Christ, listen to me, church, comes from the way we live as His followers. Listen, what they know about Him, they learn it from how you and I live. Did you know that tonight? We reflect Him. People should see Him in us. Amen? And they ought to see less of us and more of Him. Listen, we ought to be decreasing. He ought to be increasing in our lives. Notice, if you would, excuse me, verse 28. Notice here, he comes down to an exhortation because we're citizens of heaven. Look, verse 28 of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. See, everything down here is one day going to be moved. It's one day going to pass away. But that heavenly kingdom, it's going to last forever. It'll never be moved. It has foundations. He said, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now notice what he's saying. We're to be serving Him in a way that pleases Him. Can I tell you, God takes this matter of living for Him seriously, and so should we tonight. I ought to take this matter of living for God seriously. I should. And so when you come to, it just leads right into chapter 13, where the writer of Hebrews gets intensely practical. And in a vivid way, he shows us exactly what a life pleasing to God looks like. He gives us some family admonition, sort of like a family talk. You ever been in a family meeting where the family said, hey, we need to get together, we need to have a family talk? Well, it's like the writer of Hebrews is pulling everybody up close, and he said, let's have a family talk. And let me give you some admonitions about life in the family of God. And number one tonight, I want you to get this in your notes, and it's all we're going to deal with. Be a compassionate Christian. Be a compassionate Christian. That means that love needs to flow out of my life into the lives of other people. See, the Bible teaches me that when I got saved, that when you got saved, that the love of Christ was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And friend, that word shed abroad has the idea of being poured to overflowing. It's sort of like putting a cup under a waterfall. It'll just fill the cup up and spill out over the sides. And friend, listen, we ought to be so enriched by the love of Jesus Christ that it flows out of us into the lives of other people. Amen? Oh, people ought to see that we love one another. And notice, first of all, now, I thought about this after I got here tonight, and all of this already printed, outline was already done, that was already up there, but I sort of like all these S's, so I'm going to put, first of all, love God's family, but actually, so we can get it all right, it's love God's saints, okay? Because you're going to see two more S's tonight before we get done. So, love God's family, or love God's saints. Notice the admonition of verse number one, let brotherly love continue. Now I want you to notice that phrase, those two words, brotherly love. Say, preacher, what does that mean? That is family affection. Do you know that word, those two words, are never used of loving the lost. It's not used of loving sinners. You say, preacher, why is that? Because they're not in the family. Now that doesn't mean we're not to love sinners. That doesn't mean I don't love them and want to see them come to know the Lord, but this is a family love. This describes the love, and it's always used in this way. Whether it's our love for God, whether it's our love for one another, it describes a love that family members ought to have within that family for one another. It is a genuine, caring, compassionate kind of love. It's not just something that's said. It's something that's seen because it's shown. It's something that comes out. That's why I use the word compassion. Compassion is love in action. It's not just saying I love you. Friend, it's showing that I love you. That's what it is tonight. And you know what? People need to not just hear us say we love them. They need to see us show that we love them. And listen, part it talks about the genuine, caring, compassionate kind of love for those who are in the family of God. And the hallmark of God's family is that we love each other. Listen, folks, when people walk in that door, they need to see and sense a group of people that love each other with the love of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you say amen to that tonight? Listen, they need to see that. And notice he said, let brotherly love continue. That means to remain. It means to abide. It means to endure. I wrote down in my Bible the two words, be present. He's literally saying, let brotherly love continue, or be present in the fellowship of God's people. There was a little boy back, first bus ministries were actually horse-drawn wagons pulled through the streets of Chicago. And D.L. Moody had bus wagons, let's just call it that way, or wagon ministry, going picking up kids in neighborhoods and bringing them to Sunday school, just like we send out buses in our community to bring children and teenagers and families into Sunday school that otherwise, and preaching that otherwise wouldn't come and wouldn't have an opportunity to come and to impact their lives. And so a little boy, they asked him, said, why in the world do you get on that wagon and ride all the way across town to D.L. Moody's church when you've got all kinds of churches right by your house? And that little boy said, well, it's just like this. He said, they know how to love a little fellow over there. And you know what? Folks, listen, we're living in a world that's starving for love. They are. They don't know what love looks like. Friend, if all we know is love that's pictured in Hollywood, this world don't have any idea what love is. To them, it's nothing but lust. It's nothing but a fake, disingenuous kind of love. Friend, it's not godly love. It's not Bible love. It's not Christian love. It's not Holy Ghost love that's shed abroad in people's hearts. It's not that at all. And they're looking for somebody to genuinely and compassionately love them. But friend, listen, they can't know we love them unless they see us loving one another. Wouldn't we agree with that tonight? And loving the brethren. You know what? I believe the greatest testimony Calvary Baptist Church can have is that we know how to love a person over here. Wouldn't you agree with that? Friend, listen, hey, there ought not be anybody that can't walk through the doors of that church and sense the love of God. I just want to commend you. We seldom get a response. We ask for feedback in certain areas just to help us to understand our welcome and things of how people view us as a church. And 99.9% of them are always positive. Once in a while, there's somebody gets their feathers ruffled through the preaching, but you know that's very seldom. Once in a while, and I wouldn't know why they get ruffled, as sweet and kind as I am and all that. But anyway, that's side the point. What they tell us almost without fail, they say that what they're impressed with the most is what happens out there in that foyer before they ever walk in here, because there's somebody, a group of people standing out there that's reaching out and welcoming them and loving them and making them feel wanted at Calvary Baptist Church. And let me just tell you, folks, we want folks here, amen. And we want to show love. And I want to talk to you about we can see that love and the way we treat one another in the family of God. Now, I want to take a moment and I just want to talk about the one another's in Scripture, and I'm going to let you fill in some blanks, and I put a verse there so that you can look it up later, but I'm going to read it to you, okay, for sake of time, or we might be in this message for 3 weeks and we don't want to do that, okay? First of all, the Bible says time and time again we're to love one another. Listen to what the Lord said in John 13, verse 34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. He's not talking about, at this point, the unsaved world. Friend, listen, if we love God like we ought to love God, we're going to love what God loves, and we're going to love a world that needs Him. But what God's saying is, I want you to have a family love. I want you to have a genuine love. I want you to have a caring love for the family. I want you to love each other. You know, as my dad, he said, you know what? I just want our family to love each other and to be close. Can I tell you what our Heavenly Father wants? He wants us to love each other as His children. Wouldn't you agree with that? And he said, I want you to love one another, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the measuring stick. I ought to love you the way Jesus loves you. And you know what? Jesus will never mistreat you. Did you know that? And therefore, you know what? We should never mistreat each other, should we? Because we are to love the way He loved. He said that you also love one another. He's the measuring stick. And then I want to give you another one. We're to prefer one another. Romans 12:10, the Bible said, be kindly affectioned. That's family love one to another with brotherly love. There's our word. In honor, preferring one another. Do you know that I need to prefer you above me? So you know that most dissension in churches comes because somebody feels like that somebody else is elevated and they're not elevated, or they're not appreciated, or whatever. Or maybe they feel like that for whatever reason. And let me just tell you something tonight, folks. We need to learn to prefer one another. That we're more concerned with the welfare of others than we are ourselves. Amen? And lifting up others rather than themselves. It's okay if a person's name doesn't wind up in the bulletin, or if something happens here, or something happens there. That doesn't mean you're not important. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we get bent out of shape over the smallest things that really, in 20 years from now, it ain't even going to matter. You know that? And listen, we ought to prefer one another and lift up the needs of one another and care for the needs of one another. The Bible said, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. You know what? What if for some reason, my name didn't get mentioned on the prayer list, but somebody else did? Well, you know what? Let's just pray for them. And God knows our need. And there's somebody praying for you, but let's not get disjointed about that and bent out of shape. Let's prefer one another above ourselves. Amen. Let's realize we're all in the same family. And then we need to receive one another. Romans 15 verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, I'm accepted in the beloved. God accepts me just as I am. Now listen, that doesn't mean He accepts my sin. No, He's covered that. He's covered me in His righteousness, but He's welcomed me into the family of God. Now, you know what? That was real important in that day. And you say, preacher, why? Because there was a whole lot of people from different social classes that we really don't have in America that were present in that day. You had people that were wealthy and well-to-do. You had people, see, you didn't have a middle class in Rome or in that ancient world. You had the filthy rich and the terribly poor. You were either wealthy above wealth, like the rich man who fared sumptuously every day, or you were poor as a beggar. And that's that. There was no divide in the middle, really. There, it was one or the other. And then you had masters and slaves. And guess what? People started getting saved. Rich people got saved. Poor people got saved. Educated people got saved. Uneducated people got saved. Masters got saved. Slaves got saved. You know what's real interesting? There was a situation in that day when a master might have a church in his house, and guess who his pastor is? His slave. That's why He's going to say, obey them that have the rule over you. You may be rule over him during the week, Monday through Friday, because you're the master and he's a slave. But when he's there on Sunday, you need to be submissive to the Word of God when he preaches. That's what it's saying. That's interesting, isn't it? And what he's saying is we need to receive people the way God receives them. You know, folks, can I just tell you, skin color ought never matter. Language ought never matter. Culture ought never matter. What side of the track somebody comes from ought never matter. So somebody comes to our church sometimes and they'll say, preacher, let me tell you where I come from. And I'm going to say, I stop them and I say, no, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. Are you getting ready to tell me about your life before you got saved? And they'll say, yes. I say, you know what? Unless I need to know it, I'd just rather you not tell me. I'd rather just know who you are right now in Jesus. Amen. Because what we were before doesn't really matter, does it? And God's not impressed with our education, and God's not impressed with our intelligence, and God's not impressed with our giftedness, and God's not impressed. Listen, God just accepts everybody, all right, no matter walk of life, and loves them for who they are. And friend, that's how we ought to receive one another as the people of God, and not elevate people over another based on social standing or education or whatever. I was talking to one of our members just a minute ago. We were talking about the people that come on Sunday. We reserve rows for elected officials. And I understand why we do that. Really, it's to get them up here close to the preaching so I can spit on them. That's what it's for, and then get some preaching to them. But that's really, I don't spit on them. But thought about that. You know, really, they come one Sunday. You know what I'm saying? And I'm excited about those that come week after week after week. And I'm thankful for the one Sunday they come and hear the gospel and hear the truth. Amen? But at the same time, can I tell you that just because somebody holds an elected office doesn't make them more important than anybody else in America? See, our forefathers understood that, and we need to understand that. Now, we need to give honor to whom honor is due and respect to whom respect is due. But you know what? There's no big I's and little U's in the family of God. He loves everybody equally. Wouldn't we agree with that tonight? And that needs to be shown. And you know what? There's going to be times that people get saved. I remember a guy, I mean, he's a big old guy. I mean, man, he was big. And I was glad he's in my church. I mean, he's big. And he was a steam pipe mechanic. I mean, man, his arms big as my leg. And we were talking. He got saved and he had earrings all in his ear. I mean a pile of them, just all in there. And I was getting ready for baptism. One of my deacons come up and he said, preacher, don't you think, this is not in this church, he said, don't you think we ought to mention something to him about those earrings? And I said, won't you tell him? He's bigger than I am. You got a problem with it, you let him know you got a problem with it. I ain't saying anything to him. And watch this. You know what I told him? I said, listen, I said, I tell you what, why don't we quit worrying about little things like that and let the Holy Ghost take care of that? Do you know right before he got baptized, that big man walked into my office with tears running down his eyes. And he had his earrings and he laid them there. And he said, "Preacher, just want you to know God told me to take these out for you. Baptize me tonight." Now listen, that was back when I actually could baptize people. And I didn't about get that guy up. He just about drowned right in the baptistry. So anyway, I was thankful to have help, you know. But folks, you know what? Sometimes we can look, if we're not careful, we get saved and we get to a certain level. And if we're not careful, we can begin to look down and forget where we came from and what we could be. And I don't think God likes that. I don't think He does. And I tell you what, instead of us criticizing folk and trying to fix everybody, why don't you let the Holy Ghost do it? Through the preaching of the Word of God, let God work on their heart. Because see, if they change because I tell them to, they're just conforming. But if they do something because God tells them, that's called transformed. That's called inside out work, and that's what we want. Amen? And so we need to receive one another. I told you it might take us a while. Next one, serve one another. Jot down Galatians 5:13. Serve one another. For brethren, you've been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Do you know we're here to serve each other and to be a blessing to one another? And to find ways to serve. And I want to say thank you, church, for serving. Whether it be serving a funeral meal, whether it be taking care of bus kids, whether it be serving in a nursery, whether it be welcoming people, taking up an offering, teaching a class, spending time in prayer, going out and just welcoming people in your section or out in the parking lot. Whatever it is, let's in love serve one another. And friend, when we're serving each other, guess what we're doing? We're serving our Father and we're pleasing Him. We're serving God acceptably. Next, bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. Bet you didn't know there's all these one another's in the Bible. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what the law of Christ is? That's the law of love. God said when you bear each other's burdens, you're showing that you love people. You know what? Everybody in here has burdens, don't they? And sometimes those burdens are greater than we can bear. And sometimes people get hurt because they don't feel like somebody loves them or they're not concerned about their burdens. I want to say thank you to people that you have card ministries, text ministries, call ministries, prayer ministries, the different things you do. You don't know how many times I go into a home and somebody will show me a stack of cards or a note or they'll tell me people have touched base with them. You know what? That's just loving each other. Taking a moment and saying, "I love you. You're on my heart. I'm praying for you." Church, can I tell you that's such a blessing? Coming alongside one another, showing up at a funeral home or a funeral or a hospital or maybe during a time of hurt or knowing a family's going through a difficult time. We got guys that they're pulling lawnmowers around, helping people out from time to time, that, you know, when there's major sickness there. Now, they're not mowing yards for free, okay, all the time just to be mowing yards. They're out there picking something up or helping somebody with some groceries or being a blessing because they know that person is in a position that they can't do it. You know, that's serving Jesus Christ. That's bearing a burden. Amen? Forbear one another. I love that one. This is how you stay married for 50 years. Preacher, how you do that? You forbear. You learn to put up with a lot of things. Ephesians 4:2, the Bible says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." I used to do this sometimes back when I could. I'd take a couple song books and I'd rub those things together and I'd say to people, "You hear that?" And they'd say, "Yeah." I'd say, "What is that?" "It's called friction." Right. And you know what? Whenever you get people together, there's going to be some friction. People's going to rub each other. You can't have a family. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Do you ever get crossways with your family? Or is yours just perfect? There's times we get crossways. I'm not talking about my immediate family. I'm talking about the extended, all the clan, you know, and stuff like that. And there's times it happens in the immediate family too. But more so, you know, you might be together or somebody might say something or whatever, you know, and you get crossways. You know what? I don't let that stand in the way of loving my family. Life's just too short to do that. Now, listen, I understand there's situations and circumstances that are different. I'm talking about just the normal friction of life. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? Little upsets. And sometimes people hadn't spoken to brothers or sisters or moms and dads for years over little old matters that really don't amount to a hill of beans. And let me just tell you what that is. And I'm not trying to be unkind tonight. It's called pride. That's what it is. It's called pride. And what we need to do is we need to fix that. Amen? And get that right. And forbear one another. Same thing in a marriage. Okay? There's times husbands and wives get crosswise with one another. Okay? And it's real easy to let that thing build and build and build, and next thing you know, it's divided a marriage, and you really can't even understand why the marriage is divided. They really don't even know anymore. Can't even really figure it out. And the bottom line is that they didn't deal with things and they didn't forbear. There's sometimes you just have to put up. You know, everybody's got quirks. They do. I mean, I know that there's times we think we're perfect, but we're not. Okay? And I tell people all the time, for every person that rubs you the wrong way, you rub somebody the wrong way. You mean little old me? Yeah. We all do. Because there's little quirky things about every one of us. We just don't think they're quirky. Because we think it's normal. Okay? I just think everybody ought to pull the toilet paper over the top of the roll. Everybody ought to do that. That's just the right way to do it. You say, well, preacher, why are you using that illustration? Because, listen, some people talk to me about this all the time, about light switches. It happened the other night. I went in, and one light switch was up, and one light switch was down. That drove me batty. I was going through the house trying to fix that because I want all the light switches to go up and down on the same light switch, okay? That's quirky, okay? I mean, that's real quirky because really, it really doesn't matter, but at that moment, it mattered to me, okay? And you know what my wife just does? She just smiles. Because I'm probably not going to change, you know? And we're going to celebrate 30 years in November, and we're rejoicing about that, but we learn to forbear one another, and I'm sure she does more forbearing than I do. But listen, church, you know what? There's going to be times somebody didn't shake your hand, or maybe you feel like you've been neglected or uncared for. Somebody just rubbed you the wrong way or looked at you sort of crosswise. I gave this illustration just not long ago in a Starting Point class, and it was a man who was on a subway, and he was a Christian, and he wrote about this article, and he was actually writing because God smote his heart about this. And there was another man, and he had some children. It was a full subway in New York City, and there was a man there neglecting his kids, and his face was in his hands, and he was like this, and his kids was going wild on the subway. And they were really getting on people's nerves. And finally, you know, everybody's looking at each other, you know, this guy going to do anything with his kids. And finally, the fellow tapped him on the shoulder and he said, sir, he said, your kids are just out of control. He said, you're going to need to do something. They're bothering people on the subway. And the man said, I know. He said, I know, and I know I should. He said, but what you don't understand is I just come from the hospital and their mother's died and I don't know how to tell them. And that was a true story. And when somebody maybe doesn't respond to me like I think they should, maybe I ought to give them a pass because I don't know what's going on in their life at that moment. And maybe they're just hurting. You know? And be careful of drawing perceptions that are not real and allowing that become reality in your life and not realizing that at times we don't really know what's going on in another person's life. Let's just give them a pass because you know what? If we were having a bad day, we'd want a pass, wouldn't we? Sure we would. All right, let's move on, or we're never going to get done. How about forgiving one another, Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's so easy to get hard-hearted, you know. As a matter of fact, Peter comes up and he said, Lord, how many times did I forgive my brother? 7 times? I mean, he thought that was a big deal. Man, I must forgive you 7 times for the same wrong. 7 times. Now, 8, you're out. The Lord said, no, how about 7 times 70? Now, that didn't mean that the Lord was counting 490. What the Lord's saying, an unlimited number of times. You know how many times I've confessed the same wrong to God? And God never come up and said, Kevin, you know, I just forgave you that yesterday. You know, never did. He just forgives me. And that's how we ought to forgive. Let me move on quickly. We're to admonish one another. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, Lord. You know what that is? Just being a blessing. You know what? We ought to ask God to make us a blessing. Wouldn't you agree with that? I go to try to be a blessing, and 9 times out of 10, I get blessed. I'll go to the hospital to be a blessing. I'll get blessed. I'll go visit one of our shut-ins. I'll get blessed. Almost without fail, they'll bless me. And I'm trying to bless them. You know, let's just ask God to help us to be a blessing every day of our lives and somebody's lives. And then comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. People need comfort. Now, within this setting, it's the loss of loved ones. And you know what? There's no greater hurt in the life of an individual than when somebody they love passes. And that's when we need to be sensitive. Somebody says, well, preacher, I don't know what to say. Sometimes it's better not to say anything. Just say, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. That's all they need to hear. They don't need for me to make it right. They don't need to tell them all the reasons why. Because I'm going to confess to you right now, I don't know why. I don't have all the answers. But I know of a God who does and who loves them and can minister to their hearts. Amen? And we ought to comfort one another in love. And then quickly exhort one another. Consider one another, Hebrews 10:24. I'm sorry, that's the next one. Consider one another. Let us consider one another to provoke into love and good works. That means we need to stir each other up. Amen? I don't want to be the wet blanket. I don't want to be running around putting everybody's fire out. Man, if anything, I want to be fanning the flames, buddy. That's what I want to do. I want to stir you up. Let's just stir each other up, amen? And then exhort one another. That means to coach and encourage one another. You know what? More and more and more, the older I get as a preacher, I want to be an encouragement to God's people. I want people to walk away Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night with hope. You know? I think there's times as a pastor you have to preach difficult things. There's times you have to say hard things. Sometimes you have to say things that no doubt catches people in the heart. I understand that, but I always want to do it with the heart of love. But more than anything, I just want to encourage you to be everything you can be for God and to see His best in your life. All right, so number one, letter A, we love God's saints. Letter B, we love God's servants. Look at verse number 2 very quickly. Now, I know I spent a lot of time there, but I tell you, every bit of that was good preaching. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now that word, be not forgetful, is a command. God said, don't leave this undealt with, uncared for. Don't let it slip out of your mind. Now, who are these strangers, preacher? These are traveling preachers. That's not, listen, friend, I don't open my door for anybody I don't know. Okay? I don't know what's on the other side of that door. Well, angel might be on the other side of that door. Well, they're not going to go hungry because angels don't get hungry. They'll be okay. I'm not letting somebody in my door, I don't know. I ain't picking up somebody on the highway, I don't know. I'm not going to do that. And that's not what God's saying right here, okay? This is not a verse that tells me to open the door to everybody or to stop and pick up everybody. What that is a twisting of the verse, okay? All right, let me explain to you what the verse means. The strangers here are traveling preachers and missionaries who are not a part of that particular local body of believers. We've met them before in preaching just a couple weeks ago in 3 John verse 5. Can we turn over there real quickly? 3 John, just go to the right. 3 John, what chapter, preacher? 3 John verse 5. There's only one. I got to kick it in gear to get done tonight. 3 John verse 5. Notice he said, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Now these strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth. They're preachers, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They didn't go to the unsaved world. No, God meets their needs through His people. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. These itinerant preachers are completely dependent upon the hospitality of God's people to meet their needs as they went from city to city, region to region, preaching and doing the Lord's work. Now, he's using an example of Abraham who served the Lord and two of his angels in the plains of Mamre. Okay? The Lord and two angels show up and the Lord and Abraham invites them to dinner. He and Sarah with their own hands serve them, meet their needs, and they were unaware at the beginning who they were, but it didn't take long for him to figure out this is the Lord. And his angels, and they figured that out. Now here's what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that an angel in human form is going to come knocking on your door. And that God's going to get upset if you send them away and don't feed them and clothe them and do this and do that. And that admonition, this is not an admonition to feed and shelter the poor and homeless. That's not what this verse is about. Okay? Well, you can do that. We're not saying. But can I tell you, friend, that is not the primary mission of a local church. The primary mission of a local church is not soup kitchens and feeding hungry and having a clothes closet. Now, is there anything wrong with any of those things? Absolutely not. But friend, if that's all we do, then we're missing the mission that Jesus gave us, which is to preach the gospel to every creature. And if we're not careful, feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and sheltering the homeless will become a substitute for dealing with the heart and the soul of men and his need of Jesus Christ and being saved. I think it ought to be a platform for the gospel. It's not the gospel, as many churches believe today. Okay, the gospel is Jesus died to save sinners, and that's the message we have to tell. All right? And so we don't want to fail to rightly divide the word of truth. That means we can't help the poor and homeless. We can. But understand that it is a launching pad to sharing Christ. And so what this is talking about is carrying. You know what an angel, the word angel means messenger. All right, and you're going to find that a preacher is a messenger, and these missionaries were messengers, and it was like Abraham taking care of angels when you take care of God's people and God's preachers. Now, how do I obey this as part of the family of God? How do I obey this admonition? Let me give you some. Okay, number one, welcome visiting. This is not on the screen. Okay. Welcome visiting preachers and missionaries. You know what? When God sends an evangelist or a missionary to our church, we ought to go out of our way to welcome them. We ought to visit the missionary's table. Just go by and say hey to them. Take a prayer card and offer to pray for them. I don't think there's anything sadder. And I talked to a preacher friend of mine who was a missionary. Said he went to a certain church. They never even gave him a table. He put his display on the floor, and not even the pastor came and talked to him. And they just picked up their stuff and went away from that church and had been invited there with not even a love offering. I don't believe they were fulfilling that verse. What do you think? One of the things that I can honestly say is you love missionaries. You love them. And we ought to pray for their family, their ministry. Give generously in the love offering when we take up one for their needs. Offer to house or feed them. There's times that maybe you can open your home, or maybe you can take them for a meal, or maybe obey the Lord in meeting a need. Let me just give you this one, okay? And I really want you to listen. Be gracious to their children. Okay? Now, one of the things that is hard on missionaries. A friend of mine said, you know you're a missionary when the mother says, go see the principal, and they crawl up to the front of the van. To where the dad is, the principal of the homeschool. Because their homeschool's in a van as they're traveling the country to raise support to go somewhere to share the gospel. Folks, that mom and dad are called, but those children don't understand that calling. And one of the most difficult things in all the world is to be a child of a missionary mom and dad. And to travel thousands of miles around the country, church after church, stranger after stranger, put on a smile. And there's times that those kids need a pass. Sometimes they've been pent up in a car for 6 hours to get to a church meeting. And they get out and they run through the church, and the church, I can't believe their kids act that way. Well, you know what? What would your kids do if they were pent up in a van for 6 hours? They'd probably get out and run across the foyer. Because they're kids. You know? And we need to be careful of criticizing missionaries' kids when we really don't understand the life of a missionary. And what it's like to be in that car and to live in a motel room every night or stay in somebody's home week after week, and it's a different home week after week, and you don't have your toys. And you don't have your room. And you don't have your bed. Sometimes we just don't think of it that way, do we? And sometimes they just need a pass. And be understanding of their wife and what she's done. Back in my former church, had a lady get upset because she said, well, those missionaries' kids are wearing better tennis shoes than my kids are. What they didn't know is the church down the road had bought the kids new shoes. And she was upset. Well, you know what? Your kids wasn't in a car driving for and traveling all the country. And your kids are going to go home tonight to their toys and their bedroom. And You know, we ought to be careful what we say and how we criticize, shouldn't we? All right, let me give you the last one. I'm done tonight because we've got to go home. Love God's sufferers. See, I told you it's all S's. Saints, servants, sufferers. Look at verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Many of these Christians and this community of believers had suffered terrible persecution. They had lost their homes, their jobs. Even the writer of Hebrews had been put in jail. He'd been put in prison. You can read that in Hebrews 10. We talked about that. He said, I just want you to remember you're bound with them. We don't really know this kind of persecution in America. You know, what we have here is so unique in all of the world. The only time I taste something like this is when I'm in a foreign country. I remember when I was in the country of Iraq, Brother Ron, here not there not long ago, and I was walking to a little house church in a sea of Muslims, asking God and begging God for my briefcase not to open up and Bibles fall out, because I would probably have been beaten to death in that marketplace. And that was the first time I'd ever really felt fear like that. It was something I'd never felt before. I carry my Bible openly here in America. Totally different. But there our brothers and sisters are suffering in prisons and jails. I just heard a statistic from one of our government officials. I'm almost finished. 87 Christians were martyred. They were shot in North Korea. Do you know why? They had one Bible verse. They didn't have a whole Bible. They had one Bible verse that they carried. It's all they had of the Word of God was one Bible verse. And they caught them. And they murdered them. We don't understand that. And we've got part of the family of God suffering around the world. You know what I believe God wants to do? I believe He's saying, I want you to pray for them. I want you to hurt for them. And when we can, be a blessing to them if we ever get the opportunity. Jesus put it this way. He said, if you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And you know what? Folks, I'll just be honest with you. Here the other day, I fell and banged my shin. Okay? You know that bone running down the front of your leg? That thing swelled up, had to put ice on it. I'm just telling you, my whole body hurt. Okay, my whole body, it wasn't just my leg, everything hurt. Okay, I'm a wimp. I'll say it. But it hurt, okay? My whole body suffered, okay? And here's what Jesus says. When one part of our body suffers, everybody suffers with it in some form, in some fashion. And let's be compassionate toward those who suffer. Amen? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Let's love God's saints, love God's servants, and love God's